All right, so the last time we met, which was a few weeks ago already, we were middle of discussing the sugya of tzad tama bin kol momenet, right? So sugya that suggested that within every with every mu'ad animal, right, you have an animal which has demonstrated proclivity to damage and is defined now as the short mu'ad. So despite the fact that now it has a new status with regard to having to pay full and being paying the aliyah, right, paying from the higher amount, paying from the best of your goods, not just limited to specifically the body of the shore. Nonetheless, some of the dinim of short tam remain, right? There's a sad tamut, a part of tam which remains, right? That was the basic thrust of the argument. So what we discussed last week, or whatever the last time we met was, right, was that there's two major ways to looking at this, right? On the one hand, right, the concept of tzad tama bin kol momenet in a strict sense, or really, I guess, in some ways, broad sense, really, is to really suggest that the animal is kind of divided into two, right? That the animal has a tam, part of its personality, if you will, part of its, part of its nature is its tam, and part of its nature is muat, right? So you have what's called the formal tzad, in a formal sense. Can you see this? Alright, so you have the more formal sense, right? Okay, so in other words, you have half muad and half tam, right? And according to this approach, right, the animal really has a split personality. It's kind of like a schizophrenic animal, or it's bipolar. Right, it has a tam aspect and a muad aspect. And the muad aspect, right, the tam aspect really should carry over all the regular dinim of tam. Right, so everything we talked about last week, all things we listed, right, should carry over specifically that half. So for instance, right, one of the dinim of tam is that you only pay migufo, right, which means you only pay from the body of the animal, which in some ways is also a kula, in the sense that if the damage caused is more than the value of the animal's body, right, so then you're not liable for the full damages. You only have to pay up to the body, damage of the animal, right? So if the animal causes $1,000, dollars worth of damage, so half it being $500, but if the animal is only worth $100, right, so you only end up paying $100. You don't end up paying the $500, right? So you really end up saving a lot of money. The mazik really is on the good side for that. So the question is, right, what would you have to pay if it was a short mu'at, right? So a short mu'at has to pay the full amount. But if you think that tzad tama bin kol momenet is a really strict sense, that everything really, all the dinim carry over, so then you'd only pay $500 in cash, but then the $500 with regard to the gufo, the tam aspect, you'd only pay up $100. You wouldn't pay up the other $400. Right? That part clear? All right, so we really believe in this kind of schizophrenic, bipolar, there are two aspects, really, two dinamics within the shore itself. The problem we kind of presented last week, right, is that this doesn't really make much sense, right? This is what we were talking about last week. Does it really make sense to talk about a shore as having two different, parts to it, personality? Does it really make sense, right? We don't really talk about other statuses in the same way, right? Either you're tahor or you're tummy. Either you're a gadol or you're a katam. Either you're a Yisrael or you're a Goy, right? We don't have a middle status. It doesn't really exist. So what does this mean that there's really a middle status here, right? What does that mean? So one of the ways we then suggested was to suggest that really, it's not that there is a tzad tam in a formal sense, that there's a real tam side, but rather that there's only some things, maybe, right? That it's a limited, that only some things carry over, but not everything. Limited tzad tama, right? And we saw Tosfot, for instance, this is the first source. When the back end, Tosfot asks, what the point of it is, and Tosfot's point was that it's motivated all based on this Gemara about Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita believes that a muad has a lower threshold for p'tur of shmira, as in you become. You're exempt from liability for a short muad. You have a lower level, a lower threshold of how much you have to guard the animal in order to be exempt from liability. exempt from damages, from paying damages. While a short time has a much higher level of shmir required. Right? So, and the whole point, that doesn't seem like a logical argument, right? Why should he have a more chamur din by a short time than by a short muad? Right? Why should the threshold of shmirah be so much higher? So Rav Ada Bar Abba suggests that really that's kind of the motivation for Satam Kumo Omedet. That we understand Rav Yehuda is that the difference in level of shmirah only applies to the sad muad. But the sad tam, right, that remains. So, right, what we learned then is that specifically what we have so far, and this is what Tosfos' real question, what's kind of motivating his question, is that we know by shmirah, right, the din of shmirah, that shmirah remains. Right, that just as short time at the higher level of shmirah, so too by short muad also has a higher level of shmirah on its tam side. Right, effectively, if we want to reword this, is that we're machmir to compensate for the differences. We're machmir to add more requirements to short muad in order to make it less, to not make some type of disparity between its previous status and current status. To give you like an analogy, right, the way we discuss this, is the Gemara discusses by like some rules by goyim. Let's say goyim are chayv mita for gezela. So if a goy steals something, they're chayv mita. So the Gemara asks, how can it be that if you were non-Jewish, right, you have a certain level of standard or responsibility, and then you move to becoming Jewish, right, which should inherently, you'd assume, have more responsibilities, more requirements, right? You come from 7 Mitzvot Bnei Noach to 613, why then you have a lower level responsibility by Gzela, by other Dinim? So the Gemara has like that question, and which some of the response sometimes is like, Ein Acham, you're right, and that really the Dinim should be more equivalent, and that's why we're more Machmir by Yisrael, I think. Alright, so here, we kind of just like take over the Sag Tam in order to like make it more even. So maybe it's really only the Chumras, right? So that teaches you about the Chumras. Right? The question is, right, what about everything else? All the other demons? How do you explain those? Why do those carry over? Right? So how do we explain that? Why would they carry over? Do you remember what we discussed last week? Any thoughts?
Okay,
well, what are your thoughts? Yeah,
I just think it's like a weird concept to like have a stance and then only carry over like one half of the like effect of that stance. Like, why would you only carry over one half?
Well, the argument would be that you're only just compensating to make it more equivalent, so you don't go down a rung. Now, you had short time where you were at level, you know, time is at level, it's here, this high. And Mu'ah is only this high, right, for some deeming, so that doesn't make any sense, so we compensate by adding, this is what Satan would refer to, so we're just making compensating it. But the deeming where Mu'ah is already inherently more machmir, right, why should you then be Miko to make it more equivalent? But that's kind of the question, why should you be more Miko for some things? Right, if you believe like the first argument that really, you know, you kind of do have these two halves, then it makes sense, right? That you have these two halves and then things should carry over. The problem is that doesn't as like a we don't really have any other real models for those things that carry over. Not only that, I'll add another problem with this type of model. Right. So one problem we stated was that there's, you know, it doesn't really exist this way. Second problem is that we have some dinim where everyone agrees they don't carry over. So, for instance, one thing that Tosafot discusses is Huda b'knas. Right? So, in general, the rule is that if you have a knas, some type of penalty, some type of monetary imposition that basically imposes upon someone. So, if your mode, if the baldin, the person responsible for the knas, admits to having done the wrongdoing, they're not chayiv. Right? They don't have a responsibility to pay the knas. Right? So, they wouldn't have to pay. So, the chiyuv of a short time that we paskin is that palakadiska knasa. The half they have to pay for a short time is a knas. Which in other words means that based on this rule, if a short time causes damage and the owner admits to it, right, there's no eating, there's no witnesses, the owner just comes in its own free will of his own volition and comes to Beit Din and says, like, my animal caused damage, so because it's a short time and it's a knas, he's not chayev, anything. Right? You're not chayev if you're modeh. But what happens then for shor muad? Right? Let's say, for instance, the owner comes in and admits that his shor muad, or his animal, which we know as a proclivity to cause damage, caused damage. Right? So what happens then? So if you really believe, satam from komo medim, they really have these like two real, there's a real division. Right? So you would say that the half which is muad, you're chayev to pay, but the half which is tam should remain a knas, just as it was regular to tam, and you should be able to be putter. Right? You don't have to pay the muad side. And yet, Tosfot says that by with regard to knas, this is not true. That it's no longer knas, even the tam side, and you have to pay the full amount, even if you're modeh. Right, so how do you explain that? How do you then explain, right, this type of division? That makes sense, right? And then something you kind of don't carry over, right? The problems of this position are that one, it doesn't really make sense in terms of a model. We don't have like a split personality that exists. And two, some of the dinim don't indeed carry over. So what do you do about those dinim? Right? The problem, on the other hand, for this explanation is what do you do about the kula cases? Right? This explanation, we kind of said that maybe part of the motivation could be all about chumra. It's only the things to make it more even would apply. What about the kulas? How do you explain those? Right? That, do you guys see the benefits and the problems of both sides of it? Okay, so to explain this side, right, so one option could have been, say, in a hanami, you're right, the really none of the kulos should apply. And maybe that's part of what Tosfot's question is motivated by, is that really none of the kulos should apply, and even actually some like the Achronim really point out that may really be true. Maybe the kulos shouldn't apply, maybe the lachadek, they wouldn't apply completely. It'd only really be the Achronim. The problem with that, though, is that Tosfot explicitly, well, based on a Gemara, we'll see in a second, we'll see later on, maybe we don't have to postulate that Gemara, but Tosfot explicitly assumes that the din of Migufo, right, does apply. Do you remember what the din of Gufo referred to when we talked about that? Right, so what does Gufo mean? The payment, right? What does it mean you pay? Pay from what? What does that mean? From the cost of the animal, right? So we talked about that Gufo could be understood in a few different ways, right? This is, right? Remember how we talked about it a little bit, that Gufo can be understood in a few different ways depending on what, right? What does the Gufo mean, right? So one option we talked about, right, is that the Gufo means the payment is limited to the animal. Right, to the animal itself. Right? But there's another meaning of potentially of migufo. Right, we talk about this as machloket Rabbi Akiva and Rishmal. Right, so Rishmal believes that when he says that migufo, that means you're chayav of mizuzi. That really means you just have to pay a debt, and that the debt is limited in terms of like the sum amount of the debt is limited to the value of the animal. But Rabbi Akiva believes that you become shutfin, you become partners.
Oh, it's like immediate payment.
Right, immediate. Yeah, exactly. Right. So one of the ramifications of Rabbi Akiva's position is that it's immediate. Right, immediate payment. Right. So when we talked about this last time, what we pointed out was that right, this explanation, like the one everyone agrees to, right, is that chomer or kula for the mazik.
Wait, which one?
The first one. The first one. The payment is limited to the body of the animal. For the mazik, yeah, is that chomer? Are you being more stringent for the mazik, or are you being more like mako, and you being more lenient? The kula, right? Because the mazik doesn't have to pay as much potentially, right? Potentially much less. All right, so this is a kula. For what about this one? What this one? In fact, it's immediate. Would that be a chomer or a kula? A chomer, presumably. Right, presumably having to pay right away is some type of chomer. So Tosfot assumes that the gufo has to apply with regard to that when you say satam bin komo meta, that position must also incorporate migufo, right? So he asks, why is that true? Since migufo is a kula, So what we pointed out last week is that he's kind of assuming only this approach of Migufo. Right? Only that the Kula side. That's what Tosfos assuming. And you could have suggested that, no, Migufo really, maybe it's not fully a Kula, maybe it's really a Chumrah, or maybe it's kind of like a balancing act of sorts. It's neither a Kula nor a Chumrah because it kind of has both aspects to it. And we saw that the Meiri actually suggested that the reason you have these two dinim for Rabbi Akiva is in fact to kind of balance it out. And then we're Machir on one end, so we're Meikel on the other end. But maybe at the end of the day, the din of Migufo was not really fully a Chumrah, fully a Kula, it really is a Chumrah. Right, so one way to suggest it, one way to kind of solve, like, why do you have Kulas, right? This, the question you kind of have is, why you have Kulas? That's really the question. Why should the Kulas carry over? All right, that's the question we kind of have to solve this side of the question. So one option to suggest is that really, maybe they're not Kulas. Right, does that make sense?
Right, so, if I quote anyone who says something like that. Yeah, so I just quoted, I quoted here the Gemara, right, we saw the Machloket of Akiva and Shmuel, right, the Gemara Lama Gimel, and the Meiri I just mentioned before, he's the one who mentioned the fact that it might be kind of to balance the two other things,
Okay, so that might be one way of explaining it. The second way, another way to explain it, right? Anybody else have any suggestions? Like why, how to explain why should you have Migufo? Right, Tosfos thinks that Migufo would apply. If you say Tatam Mikomo Medit. So if you don't assume a formal approach or really is a division, right, why would you say Migufo? Why would Migufo carry over? That's the question that I'm kind of asking. That make sense? Question? Right, so how else would you explain that? So, I think this is kind of like the way that, let me explain it this way. The major difference, for the next two approaches, the major difference between this side and that side are going to be that this side sees all the dinim of Tam remaining, right, all of them, and there should be no exception. This side may believe that it's true that you have Gufo, and maybe Gufo is a Kula, it really is a Kula, but it's limited to specifically only Gufo. That's the only Kula that's limited. Maybe because it's like a package deal of sorts. That once you have Satam for something, you have to take Migufo as well. You have to take the fact that you're limited to the body of the animal. But no other deity would carry over. Right, the question is, right, why only, so kind of two if you want, only Migufo. The question is like, why? Like, why what's special about Migufo? That it'd be limited to only Migufo. Everyone makes sense? This move kind of makes sense? Like, it's actually what we're doing here? Okay, so there are two kind of suggestions I'd like to make. The first one is that maybe, and this is like a larger question, but maybe there's some type of idea that whenever you have to pay half payment, right, you have to pay for chetzi, it's always limited to Migufo. That, so for instance, the Gemara in Sororot is like a type of payment that you pay only half, even though it's like a regular case of regga. Sororot is like an animal that's walking, and as it's walking, stones are like flicked out, like it, you know, it's a heavy animal, imagine like a big elephant. Like, I have this like puzzle in my house that like has like an elephant in the middle of it, and there are like a bunch of stones like coming out from its walking. So I don't know if that's really fully accurate, but like you can imagine like something really big coming out, like things spritz out. Like imagine a car as it's driving, like water spritzes out. So let's take a great example. Like water spritzes out, and somebody's like walking on the street, and his new suit, right, or her beautiful new dress gets damaged from like the disgusting city water. Right? So that's the din of Sororot. Right, that there's like a, so it's like a, it's an extension of called regel, it's an extension of like the walking regular behavior, and yet it's a special din that you're only chayv chetzi nezek for sororot, even though it should be chayv regel full. Okay, so sororot chayv chetzi nezek. So Rava has this question on daf yud chet that maybe once it's already chetzi nezek, maybe it's only be should only be migufo mishalim or mealiyah mishalim. Do you pay that chetzi, that half, from the guf, right? It's only limited to the body of the animal, Or is it also mean aliyah, like every other case of regel or regular type of damage, right? Standard normal behavior for the student to be like regel. So too, this should also be standard behavior and therefore should be applicable to the regular deen. But what emerges, right, according to this like one side of the question that Rava asks, is that maybe there's a type of inherent connection between paying half, right, and having the half specifically be limited to gufa. So if you make that argument true, then once you suggest that you kind of divide the payment into a tzatam and tzadmua type of payment, for even for some things, or even on the most basic level, once you have that payment of limited to some things, you have to then say that half payment is specifically also carries gufa. Right, so half, so put it this way, so half takes with it gufo. Right? Gufo is kind of carried over by it. Does that make sense? Like why, like to explain why the gufo would carry over, even though it's a kula? Right, this is assuming it's still a kula, right? But this gufo kind of has to carry it over because it's connected. The other side, to explain it, that's one possibility. Another possibility, 2B if you will, is to suggest that as some of the Achron suggest, is that because right, the whole din of Satam, right, the whole motivation of saying Satam bin Komomedet, was to suggest that you have this higher level of Shmira requirement, right? That even though it's a Muad animal, you have the dinim of Tam for Shmira, that you have a higher level Shmira Meula requirement and not Shmira Chuta, right? That was like kind of the motivation for this. So once you say that, the argument is that Shmira, by definition, having Shmira Me'ula, by definition, kind of leads you to have the Kula of Gufo. That the two things are kind of tied together. That once you're paying, once you have a requirement that someone is required to have this extra level of Shmira that you usually don't require, right? For every other case in Mu'ud, you don't require this higher level of Shmira, and nonetheless, by short time you do, so there's kind of like an attached Kula that comes with it of Gufo.
So, were we saying that the Shmira Me'ula case, where it like becomes a home run, kind of bounces?
Yeah.
So then, therefore imbalance it?
No, because in the short time is required to be Me'ula,
right.
But it also pays Me'gufo. It doesn't really cause an imbalance, right? Because short time is here, say, right? We're talking about this is Tom, right? So short time pays for Shmira Me'ula, right? And Tamur would only be Shmira Pechuta. But even this of Shmira Pechuta,
It's
kind of like carrying over that part of it. Right? The only work you have to do is kind of like, why is this so inherent? Why is it so inherent that because of Shmira Me'ula, you have to also pay Me'gufo? So you have to argue that the kind of like the source of Me'gufo, the p'tur of Me'gufo, stems from Shmira Me'ula. That the very fact that you have to pay Me'gufo, sorry, the very fact that you have to have this extra requirement of Shmira, that's what leads you, that's what requires you to have, that gives you the p'tur of only paying Me'gufo. Which I'm personally not convinced that's necessarily an obvious connection. It's kind of like a broader topic. I don't know if we're really going to have time to go through it. But I'm not convinced this necessarily has to be true. Okay, but there's definitely, I don't know if you guys have any feelings on it, but that's definitely, I think, if it's clear, I think these are the two approaches kind of to how you can explain, assuming gufo is a kula, you admit it's a kula, how do you explain why it gets carried over? That makes sense? Okay, so just like to show you a little bit, so this one I won't have so many sources, it's kind of more complicated, but just show you that gufo is kind of like present. So if you look, right, so the argument here in source, so first one we mentioned is that maybe it's just a kula, only the kulas, right? So I showed you the, like, that's the Meiri, they pointed that out. Regards to only Me'gufo, that it's only limited to Gufo specifically, some of the sources that show this is, like, the Ravid on the same Gemara. When he quotes about it, he only specifically talks about Gufo, right? He doesn't really talk about any other kulas, or he doesn't even refer to Gufo so much as a kula. He just keeps talking about it as Gufo, as in the only thing that's really relevant. So if you look at the Ravid, he says, Amar Rav Ada, Bar Ava, he kind of quotes this, Lopat Rav Yehuda, El Asad Shadda Shabo, and then he says,
And the very first line, so too by gufo, right? So you have the chesed nezik and you have migufo. Right? You kind of have the two things attached. It doesn't list out the other pturim that might exist. Likewise, like throughout his discussion, he kind of keeps talking about gufo over and over again. Right? The kind of like one thing carries over. Likewise, if you look at the Shinui Gwet, this is really interesting. He asked the following question, right? This is kind of like a background question to the whole Tosfot discussion. Right? Tosfot had said that that Gufo comes with his Sekula, and it's not clear to Tosfot why he makes like a certain division, a certain way, and that's kind of what Shinui Gwet kind of challenges. He asks, Kadid b'Tosfot, who adin l'kula, umi uli pater me'odata. Right? Tosfot suggested that when it came to, if you have, right, satam mkomo medet, so which things carry over and which things don't. Right? So Tosfot suggested, right, that when it comes to gufo, apotropos, and shmir, which is like the motivation, that you do have a satam which exists. But when it comes to hoda, the knas, that does not carry over, and it only remains, right, only has the muad dinin, doesn't have the tam dinin. That's Tosfot's suggestion, right? Shmir is kind of like the source, and the question is about these two, right, specifically. Like, where do these two go? So Tosfot decided that these two go under the sat tam, and they have a dinin of tam, right? So the question that Shinui Gwet asked is why? Like, why does Tosfot assume that they stay on the sat tam side? Maybe they should stay over here, on the Mu'ud side. Right? Why, to try to word it the way we kind of discussed this earlier, why do we assume that just because the Chumrah of Shemirah is applied, why do we assume that the Kulas of Apotropos and Gufo apply as well? Maybe just like by Hodah B'Knas, where it's the Kula, we don't apply this Kula, we don't carry it over, so too the Kula of Gufo and Apotropos, those also shouldn't carry over. Right? We should only stick with the Chumras. That's kind of, that's his question. Okay, so Tema Amay Shadina Negufo Vamara Apotropos Gufe Batar Shmira Avirba Nashadi Batar Tzvona Miftar Hatam Lavim Komo Manet Lechomra Etvan Lemar. So we should follow, right, Hodah B'Knas. So his answer is as follows. He says, Zishlomer Mistavra Ma'Dichti Bikra Behedia Negufo Shmira Yishlit Mot Aval Boda Lo Ari Kla Dichti Vuar Diva Alav. So his answer is that we compare the things which are listed in the Pasuk more than the things which aren't listed in the Pasuk. Right, so the din of migufo and shmira are both listed in the pasuk with regard to shortam. Right, shortam has gufo and shmira included within the pesukim of shortam itself, but hodah, there's no mention anywhere of hodah in the pesukim. There's no mention of it as a concept. It's kind of like a, if you will, it's like a real Torah shabbal peg move. Like the rabbis kind of like read this into the text, or they insert it from somewhere else. But it's not really in the text. So we assume the things which are written in the text together instead of categorizing the things which aren't in the text together. Right? That's kind of, that's his explanation. But so on a simple level, right, that sounds like it's just about the textual, that's like a textual answer. But it's also possible to read into that a bit, and I'm admitting this is like a read-in a bit, where he's specifically comparing, like the part I underlined, but specifically he's comparing Gufo and Shmira. There's not a specific connection that applies between Gufo and Shmira, that these two things are kind of inherently connected, either because they both limited, were both written in the Pasuk, or maybe something more inherent about them, or it's only more related to this idea. Right? So clearly some type of like move that's happening here that implies there might be more than just the Chumras, right, the way that Tosfot might describe it, but really there's something inherent about why these two things are limited. These two things are connected. And maybe that only applies to Gufo only, doesn't apply to any other Kula. That make sense? Okay, anybody disagree? Want to read it differently? Okay. All right, so that's all with regard to this idea. Anything else I have on this? Yeah, okay. Okay, so one source, perhaps, maybe one way of describing or kind of depicting this disagreement, kind of like the larger disagreement between whether it's a limited or like a formal, like satam, Right? So one way maybe of showing that may be the following case. The Gemara has, this is like a random topic, Gemara's talking about Pacha Nevela, a certain din that that according to one reading of what the Machloket is, it sounds like it comes out that the dinim by Shor Tam are more machmir than Shor Mort. That the din of Pacha Nevela means that when the animal dies, the question is who's responsible for the carcass until Beitin kind of figures it out how to divide the money. Right? They say the carcass at one point was worth $100 and then it went down to $50. So the rule by Muad is that the carcass is always in the hands of the Nizak. The Nizak's responsible for figuring it out. Right? Because the point is that if the animal went down, like the animal went alive, was worth $1,000. Right? And then it goes down and when it dies, or is killed, right, it's worth $100. And then when baiting comes, it's only worth $50. Right? So when you're trying to determine how much is the mazik responsible, is the mazik responsible for $900 or is the mazik responsible for $950? That makes sense? Like the question that's the question of Pachin Nevela. So everyone agrees that by Muad that the responsibility is on the Nizak. In other words, that the mazik is only responsible for 100. So by Muad, it's only 100. Everyone agrees that. And the Gemara suggests, part of the Gemara's suggestion to how to understand Rabbi Yehuda and Chok, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, is that Rabbi Yehuda believes that by Tam, that the Mazik is responsible, and the Mazik therefore would be responsible to pay for this amount. Right? So the Mazik would be responsible for the extra half, so the Mazik would be responsible for $950. Or really, it's half of that, but it's half. So it's an extra $25. But like the terms of like what the damage they're responsible for is $950. Right, so if this is true, the Gemara asks, so then you have a chumra by Tam that you don't have by Muad. Right, kind of the same question we have by Shmira. Right, so the Gemara says, right, this is the Gemara on Daf and Dalet. Right, Amar Le Abaye, Imkein Masinu Rabbi Yehuda Tam Chamri Muad. This shows that Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's so we believe that Tam is more chumra than Muad. Right, so V'chitei Ma'achanami. Maybe it's true. Ha, if it's not, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Tam Chayav Muad Patur. So we know it may be true for Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Shmira, right? If you don't hold, there's that time to be komomenet. So maybe this imbalance exists by Shmira, but how do we know this exists by Tashlumin by terms of like the monetary payment? Right? So the question that everyone asks is wait, but even within Shmira, we don't really believe that Tam is Chamor Mimuad. Right, so what is the example that the Gemara gives of Tam Chamor Muad and Shmira? Right? What is that example? Right, because if you hold so Tam will be Tumbo Medet, right, that's what you really hold by, then there really is never an imbalance. Right, the Gemara suggests that there should be that there may be one model of imbalance by Shmira, but that assuming there isn't one, and therefore suggests a different answer that really have to reject this possibility. But the Gemara assumes that there may be at least an imbalance by Shmira, but that isn't true. For that though isn't true with regard to if you believe that Tam become omenes. Okay, that's what Tosfot asks. Tosfot asks, "Masiu Tam Chamor Muad v'mtomar b'harbuta itlei tag Tam b'mkomo omenet." In which case, there's never an imbalance. Right? There's not an imbalance here, and there's not an imbalance by Shmira either. So how do you explain this? Gemara, why has it more sense? It says, "Yishlom mardachi perusho martinu sad tamut chamor mitzad muad." That what the Gemara really means is that the Muad side is more chamor than the Tam side is more chamor than the Muad side. As in, it's true that right, so by Shmira, by Shmira usually have that by Muad, you're chay of Shmira Meula, Shmira Pechuta, and Tam, you're chay of Shmira Meula, and that's the imbalance. Right, that's the imbalance, right? But the problem is that by Muad, you're really high of, for the Tam side, you're really high of Shmira Bechuta as well, Shmira Mula as well. Right, that's the question. So Tosa's answer is that, oh, it's true that every day you're high of Shmira Mula, that's on the Tam side. On the Muad half, right, so that's only for the Tam half. For the Muad half, you're still only chayav for Shmira, the Chutim. And that's what the Tote Gemara is talking about. That the side, that the half of the Muad is more Mako than the half of the Tam. Right? Within the very same shore, within the half Muad and the half Tam, there is this imbalance. And that's the problem with the Gemara, that can't be true. That can only be true by Shmira, but it can't be true by Tashlumim. Okay? So without getting too carried over within this particular Gemara, this answer Tosu suggests, right, seems very clearly to fit into this like formal side, right? That there really are two halves. And there are two halves that are so strong that we care about comparing the two halves. And that they really are two distinct animals. Really, it's a bipolar animal that has two halves, and we talk about which side is more humble than the other. Like, we talk about it in a very formal sense. Right? So it's very formal. If you don't believe in this formal sense, right, what else, how could you answer this Gemara? Or how else could you have explained, how do you explain this Gemara? Right, does everyone agree to this concept of Satam from Komo Medet? Right, so remember the Gemara in Daf Mem Hei, we talked about this. This is, I guess, a few weeks ago, so we didn't revisit this week. But the Gemara there, right, presents two opinions. Rav Bar Ava says Satam from Komo Medet, and that's kind of motivated by this Shmira question. But Rav disagrees. He says no. We don't believe in Satam bim Komo Medet. Satam bim Komo Medet only applies in one specific case, in case of Karen, Yamun Karen Simone. But we don't really believe in Satam bim Komo Medet. Right? So another way maybe to explain this Gemara would have been to suggest that this Gemara is only true. This Gemara assumes a condition of Rav. That really, there is an imbalance because we don't believe in this Satam and Satam Muad exists. And that really all you have is Shmir Bechut by Muad and Shmir Be'ula by Tam. You don't have like that middle stage. Right, so that could have been another way of solving this question. And in fact, I didn't quote it here, but Tosfot Rabin in Paris and Tosfot and Shinim Kubet said they quote that explanation. Right, that now you don't, it's not that you don't compare between like halves, it's not that you just don't pass them this way. We don't believe Satam Bikramamana, we possibly like Rav. So, this might be one example then to kind of show, delineate a little bit, like kind of the differences, to really show kind of what I mean of the formal side of Satam versus like the only the Chomer's aspect. Does that make sense? Okay, great. So that's all with regard to, so that's one example. Let's go through, okay. Okay, the next thing we talk about is apotropos. Right, so this is a little bit what we're talking about. This is really where like, our sukkah was before, we're kind of where we are in the Gemara. Right, the Gemara suggested, this is the Gemara we saw, suggested, right, two kind of examples in apotropos cases. Right, I don't know if I should put the muscles there. I think I kind of like blew apart. Sorry, let me just open it up. Okay, so the Gemara suggested. Kind of two parts. Okay, so I just replace this. Okay, so right, the Gemara suggested two parts, right? So the Gemara has kind of two stages of apotropos. The first suggestion, we kind of read this last week, so I don't want to go through all the details again, but the Gemara kind of suggests two different ways, right? Rabbi Yaakov makes a statement that shor cher shor devekatan kenagach mashalim chati nezek. Right, so if a shor owned by a someone who has impaired mental faculties causes damage, so you pay chati nezek. So the Gemara says, what's the case? So one suggestion, Amar Rava, so one suggestion Rava suggests, right here, is that we're talking about a muad. Right, we're talking about a muad animal. So I'm going to try this out. Right, we're talking about a muad animal that has shmira pechuta. Right, so under the general dinim of shor muad, you're pater, right, for shmira pechuta. You had like the sufficient level for muad, but you didn't have sufficient level for shor tam. So you should have been, if you didn't believe in satam ben koma medet, you'd be pater completely, right, because you've had enough. But because of Satam Bim Komo Medet, you are now chayav for half.
right? Because you had, let's say, the first case is, you had Shmira Bechuta. So if it was Muad Pater, you have zero. And now because you have Satamut, you have half. Right, so Satamut makes you go from zero to half. Does that make sense? That's like the first, that's the way he reads it, right? Rabbi Yaakov, Samar Lekar Yehuda, Damar Satam, Mishamo Medet, Samar Lekar Yehuda, Damar Muad Sagin, Shmir Pechuta, Sol Kerban, Damar Minim, Abtrobus, Satam, Lekar Mishamo, right? So all these cases, okay? That's the first case of Abtrobus. Then the Gemara has the following statement. Amar Le Abaye, V'lo Pligi, wait, is that true that Rabbi Yehuda agrees completely with Rabbi Yaakov? Ve'atanya, right, so Toshor Shachir, Shosh Rekadah, Shenagach, so there seems to be some type of machloket. So Amar Rav Bar Ula. So Rav responds, "Mashmecha Rabbi Yehuda, Pirush Rabbi Yaakov." Really, there's no machloket, and rather that the two opinions are kind of one explaining the other, right? So presumably, then the real explanation for Rabbi Yaakov fits under the same rubric, right? But Abaye says, "Well, Abaye says, Pligi, right? How do you explain Abaye's opinion? Right, so how do you explain Abaye's opinion?" So he says, "Hachom ha'is kidnon b'muav non-shir klal, Rabbi Yaakov sabar lak Rabbi Yehuda b'chada u'palek lei b'chada." Right? Rabbi Yaakov believes the following case. You're talking about a case of zero shmira, so ain shmira. So by muad, regular, if you didn't believe it's that time, would you be chayav? Right, would you be chayav if you had no shmira? Then the shalom, exactly. So it's full. And now because you hold sat tamut, and you hold, this is like a side part, you hold by apotropos that ain't govin migufo, right? So you hold that you don't collect by for tam. So because you hold by sat tamut, or therefore chayav only half, right? You only chayav the half of the muad. You're not chayav the half of tam. Okay, so that's all within Abaye. Okay, but it sounds like, right, that Rava doesn't necessarily agree to this, right, within the Gemara itself. It sounds like it's only Abaye, not necessarily Rava as well. In fact, kind of Tosfot points this out, where he kind of says, why doesn't Rava say this? Rava lo b'ayli shnoi hachi, and he gives an explanation, it's kind of a little more technical, but it sounds very clear that Rava doesn't necessarily agree completely with Abaye's answer. Okay, now why is all this important? Why am I bringing up this, like, Gemara, this reading, besides the fact that this is, like, our sugya? Like, why is this relevant? Right? Because how would you characterize these two cases? Right? They're both about apotropos. They both relate to gufo in some ways. But what does he say about satam and komo menet? Right? This case. This contradict any of the positions, all sides of the positions we saw, could they agree with this case? Does this make sense? The first case that you should be, that if you was just a muad, you'd be chayav nothing, but now because you hold satam and komo menet, you're chayav half. Does that make sense? For, say, everyone. Would anybody disagree with this statement? Any positions, both conceptual positions as well as like actual like people we saw. Would anybody disagree with this concept? Or maybe we'll move on to this one. Okay. The Baye one. Maybe these are the contrasts here. Okay, Baye believes, right, that by Muad you'd be chayav full, but because of Satamut you're only chayav half. Right? Is this a problem for anybody?
It's the cooler case.
Exactly, it'd be a cooler case, right? This is clearly a cooler case. Right? So for this part, the position believes in the formal sense. There's really two halves, right? Is this a problem? No, right? Because it's clear, it's obvious, right? There's two halves, so it should be consistent. There's no problem. But for this part, right, there should be a problem because we've been focusing specifically on it always being chumras. So why should apotropos carry over, right? And the explanations I gave were that either it's not really kula or it's only really migufo. Right, so how does the gufo relate to this? Right, so how would you explain this case? Right, this case. Does this case have a problem for any shitot? The case where you'd be, if it was muad, you'd be chayav nothing, but because you hold satam and kol medet, you're chayav half. Is that a problem for anyone? No, exactly, right? Because this is exactly like the Shmir idea. Right here, you're just being consistent. Because if it was a tam, like if we just label it, if it was a short tam, or you'd be chayav, half. Right? So we're just making it more consistent. We're compensating, so to speak, for that disparity. But by, so this opinion works for everyone. It's a chumrah. What do you do at the kula side? Or how do you explain this gemara? Right? So one way to have explained it is kind of what I was pointing out, was that maybe, what? Yeah, I mean, even if you say pinkufa, but that wouldn't help in this case because you're buying paying for apotropos. Like here you'd be chayv zero. Now you're chayv to pay because you hold tatamukul medet with regard to apotropos. So it's not just about the gufa, it's more than that. You're chayv to pay when you would have been chayv nothing.
Wait, which case
are
we talking about?
We're talking about the second case. Right, how do you explain this case? Right, it makes a lot of sense. This case makes sense for the Tamil
right.
side, but how do you explain it for this side?
Right.
Okay, so how do you explain it? Right. So I've been hinting partially to one suggestion, right? But I said this is a bias opinion. Right. So what? How would you respond? Like, what would we resolve this question? Well, we don't hold by a bias. I hold by Rav, and Rav disagrees. Right. I mean, this is like a kind of like a. It's like kind of like a bad answer. It's kind of like, oh, you don't really like that answer so much. It doesn't really solve it fundamentally. But it is one way to suggest it. But maybe the Gemara itself seems to suggest that not everyone agrees with his opinion. So Tosfot seems to talk about Tropos as a kula. Right? So he clearly believes you do talk about this. This is a problem, and maybe that's what forces him to argue the formal side. But if you don't agree to this, maybe that kind of solves your problem. Maybe a Tropos is not really a kula, because you don't hold to this position, right? So this would kind of fit into here. That makes sense? The other way to explain apotropos would be to argue that in some ways it's not really a kula, but it's about something else. That somehow you have to connect the din apotropos to gufo. Right? So we saw, and this kind of relates to the discussion we had previous topics, this was already a number of weeks ago, was why do we have this kula by apotropos? This is the whole din, right? Right. The din of apotropos is that apotropos, the way we're passing in this case, is that apotropos ain govin apotropos short time gufo. But we don't collect short time from apotropos, right? And we saw Tosfos suggested like five different answers and rejecting most of them, right? So if you remember, right, the answer that Tosfos ends up liking, right, the answer that Tosfos ends up suggesting at the end of the day, right, do you guys remember what that answer was? The answer Tosfos suggests, why do we not get a short tom? Right, why did the short tom not have to pay? Why the short tom, apotropos not pay for a short tom? Right, if you appoint a legal guardian, so and the animal causes damage, if it's a short tom, the animal, according to its opinion, does not, the person is not required, and does not have a liability. Right, so Tosfos suggested five different reasons for why a legal guardian does not have a liability for a short tom. Why not? Right, so Tosfos' answer, right, do you remember what Tosfos suggested? Yeah, exactly. So Tosfos suggested, right, that the Torah was kind of, it was chas, that the Torah was kind about short time in general, and it was also clearly kind here too. So if you look at Tosfos' language, very revealing about satam v'kumomet, because Tosfos says, here, I'm going to get all that part here, he says, v'chein, yishlom artami, he has the whole thing, then he says, v'chein hamur nami b'tzad tamut, when it comes to mur, so he's actually talking about specifically this case, why don't you have to pay? That since we see that the Torah was already kind, was already merciful by Satam bin Kumo Medet in general, right, as in Satam bin Kumo Medet is a type of kula, we too are extending it that you're not high for apotropos. Right?
Tosaf's argument is that the whole concept of satama kamometit is a kula because of gufo. Gufo teaches you that it's a kula in general. Right? So too, Beitin was chas satama kamometit. Right? Beitin was kind based on the Torah's bottom. Right? So all of this kind of assumes that it's a kula, that satam is a kula in general. Right? Does this fit well within this model?
No.
No, exactly, right? It assumes that satam is kind of a kula, and would have to kind of explain it based on like this type of model, that there really are two different halves. But we saw Toso quotes like a bunch of other reasons. Right? So one of the other reasons potentially for satam and komomedet, and this might relate to our discussion, right? So some of the reasons Toso suggests really fit in well with our idea, which is as follows, right? One suggestion that Tosu suggests is that the owners here are ketanim, right? So because the owners are ketanim, so we're never chayiv ketanim for things, right? So that answer doesn't really do much. It's just like that kind of like it doesn't really explain anything about satama specifically. It kind of just like that doesn't really have any bearing on our conversation. Kind of. We'll get to the Knoss answer in a second. This is a more general answer. This is that Ketanim don't have to pay for their Nezek in general. But you're right, the Knoss answer is another answer. We suggested that Ketanim don't have to pay for Knoss. The problem is, how do you then explain Satam Bim Komomedit if it's not really a Knoss? So we'll get back to that, actually. We'll get back to that. Good point. But we could have saying there's another answer more generally, that not just Knoss, but that Ketanim are not higher for Mazik in general. If a katan does damage with his own body, they're not chayav. So kav chomer, if they cause damage with their property, it shouldn't be chayav either. Okay, so there are other answers that don't really relate to our discussion. But there is, I think you could have suggested that this doesn't relate to our discussion at all, so katanim, right, doesn't relate to our discussion in any way. But one answer might relate more directly, might potentially stake a position, and that is, the answer that the Tosafot quotes is based on the Shita Mekubetzin, right? So if you look at that answer, what does Tosafot Mekubetzin say? V'yesh lomar de'ati ashpina d'hainu time v'adein amirin mishum she'atam mishalim migufo v'chasa rabbanim shol lahasti davar misuyam masha'in kin v'muad. That the tam pays migufo and the rabbanim were a chas that you shouldn't have to lose something specific, something tangible. You shouldn't have to lose a specific item. Right? So this answer, right, is it kind of a hint to certain suggestion potentially? Might be able to suggest something based off it. Right, the answer suggests that we're makil by short tom, we're bottom makil because we don't want you to lose something specific. We don't want you to lose the goof of the animal. Right? So might this have any bearing on Satam and Komo Medic, why we makil for Abu Trobus? Okay, so you might suggest, right, this is my suggestion, that if you believe, right, that they're bottom or makil because you're going to lose something specific, so maybe what you see here is that there's something specific about apotropos and losing the goof, right? So apotropos can't lose the goof of the item. So if you believe then that there's some type of connection specifically between goofo and satam and komomedet, but that's kind of like the exception. So maybe that's why apotropos has this exception. Right? Maybe the reason that apotropos, and this is something you guys could have hinted earlier, but maybe the reason that apotropos has a kula, and maybe it's tied to gufo, is specifically because it's kind of the same thing. They're kind of like one leads to the other. Right? So if you look, for instance, at, right, so if you look back at the beginning, right, Tosafot says, why should this be true migufo, and why should it be true for apotropos? Right, so you could ask like, oh, you're kind of just two different kulas here, but maybe the point is that really they're kind of two of the same thing. That apotropos is kind of like a subset of gufo itself, and that wherever gufo goes, apotropos goes too. Right, so just as we suggested
that the kulas of gufo might be carried over, and only the kulas of gufo, then we have to extend that, and not just the kulas of gufo, but the kulas of gufo, and by extension, the kulas of the trophies as well.
Can you say again what makes it a subset?
A subset. So if you believe, if you take this position of the shita mechabes, I just showed, that the reason that apotropos were, that the apotropos are not, you don't collect from a short time, right? Why is the legal guardian not collecting why is the legal guardian not liable for the damages caused by a short time? So if you think the reason is because a short time, you'd have to collect from the body itself. So the rabbanon were not machmer to collect from the body itself. Right? So what then emerges is that specifically by apotropos, the kula, the reason that we're mako by apotropos, that you're not chayev to take from short time, is because of gufo. It's because of this din of gufo. Right? So you don't have to make this argument. I think that they might be connected, though, is that once you think that the reason apotropos is because of migufo, then when you argue that satam kumo medit must by definition take in migufo as well, that might also extend to this p'tur of apotropos as well. Does that make sense? As in, once you make the step, right, of answer two, of only migufo, that gufo is kind of extended for either answer A or answer B, we suggested that either because of the chesinezik or because of the shir mula, right, once you extend to gufo, the argument is that based on this answer of the shnikubeset, that would also include apotropos too.
So you can't extend.
Yeah, as in the point that you read the Tosfos, that it's not, you read that in a way that it's not just migufo, and then, like, one example A, it's not just example A is migufo, and example B is apotropos, but really it's example A, and then example A part two,
right.
Apotropos.
The reasons that we're okay with the possible answer of it only migufo being the thing that's allowed, right? The thing that's included, right?
Yeah, right. And then
if those answers also have to apply to
apotropos
to allow that to be included without breaking the whole.
Yeah, and then you don't have to. And then here's the question, right? So we suggested with regard to gufo, how do you explain the kulas?
Right.
So we suggested two types of answers. Either one, it's not really a kula.
Yeah.
Gufo is not really a kula. In which case, how do you explain apotropos? So you have to say, to explain apotropos, you'd have to say that really apotropos is not really kula either. How is that really kula? So you have to explain that we don't pass like a baye, because otherwise it's clearly kula. So you have to pass like a baye, you only take nechomas. You could still believe that, even if you believe the option two, for gufo, but you don't have to. You might be able to suggest, right, option two was that really the chumra, that even if you believe in the chumra camp, that you still have the kula of gufo, because it's tied to either because of chesinezek or shir mula. It doesn't make a difference which one. And you could then suggest, potentially, that it's not just gufo, but gufo extends to also apotropos. Right? If you take this position as only the gufo, you could add only the gufo, maybe also plus apotropos.
Right.
And your reason to connect this is because of this shita.
And then either A or B also has to apply to apotropos.
Yeah, but not, that doesn't have to be directly. And then you have, yeah, I agree. Then if you believe A, then you have to say that chesi nezek, every time you have to pay half, you have to pay the gufo, and it's also apotropos. I mean, you have to figure out how, but it'll also be not apotropos. And shmer b'ulah would have to apply to apotropos as well. I agree. That would have to be the connection. Yeah. It would be very difficult otherwise. And then I don't know if you have to say this. Like, I think even if you believe the shmer b'ulah's explanation, you might still not have to say this, and you might have to rely instead on not passing like a baye. Okay? This might be how to resolve, kind of. But to summarize that, you see kind of an example of a way of how this our sugya of apotropos kind of fits in well into this model. Right? Either you take the opposition of yo pasan like a baye, right, then you can explain very well. If you hold like Shimon Bresson explain this position, and if you hold like Tosfos' explanation, what Tos suggests about chas, that's really kula, then you see a very good model for the satam being a formal idea. Alright, so everyone has to see how like it fits in very well. Okay, great. Now let's cover I have three more topics. If we don't cover the last one, it won't be the end of the world, since it's kind of separate. So let's go to kofar.
Okay. How do we explain chiyuv kofer?
All right. So,
What is chiyuv kofer? Let's get the background in. What is kofer? Right, anyone knows kofer. If like a shor kills a person, right, it's a shor tam. So what's the din if a shor tam kills a person? Right, so the din is that a shor tam kills someone, you kill the animal. Right, maybe for damages. But so what happens if a shor muad though kill someone, right? So the animal has been consistently, you know, doing something. So now, not only is the animal going to get killed, but there's a special din by the owner as well. The owner has to pay kofer. Right? The owner has to pay some type of monetary retribution for the damages caused by his property. Right? Something special. It's our next topic exactly what exactly is this chiyuv kofer. But the point is that the owner has to pay kofer. Okay? Specifically only by shor muad. The question is, right, you don't pay kofer by shor tam. So what do you do about satam ubimkom omedet? Right? If you think that satam ubimkom omedet, that half the animal is muad, half the animal is tam, how do you explain chiyuv kofer? Maybe chiyuv kofer should only be chayiv half. Maybe should only be chayiv half of the kofer, because the tam isn't chayiv at all. So how do you explain kofer? Does that make sense? Question? So Tosfos asked this question. So does the Rashba. So Tosfos says answers as follows. He gives two suggestions. The first one, V'yesh Lomar. He says Nafim Aleph. V'yesh Lomar Dishani Muad the Gali Bekra. That Muad is different with regard to Muad with regards to Kofar. It's a long discussion in Gemara about Kofar made for Shotam. But Muad is different by Kofar because the pasuk specifically says Muad, meaning, in other words, that there's some type of gzeres hakatuv. That maybe, in other words, in theory, right, a shor muad, if you believe that shor muad has a chiyuv, but has a sad tam, so maybe you would only have to pay a kofar, you would only have to pay half the kofar. Right? You have the split, and you only have half kofar. And that's it. You wouldn't have to pay anything else. Maybe that's true. That, as in Anachami, that is true. But the pasuk comes teacher, it's like the Zerat HaKatsu, that comes teacher that no, you're chayiv everything for the muad. Right? And then the point is, I'm explaining this poorly, but the point is that without the pasuk, right, the question is like, what would happen without the pasuk? So without the pasuk, it becomes clear from Tosfos' first answer that really you do have this division. That you really do have a half side tam and a half side muad, and you really only be chayav half of the muad. You wouldn't be chayav for the tam, and that's right. But the pasuk comes teaches you that now you're chayav in this case, despite the fact that there's these two halves. Right. So Tosfos, right. But the point though of kind of this answer, what's interesting about it, is that it acknowledges that it's only because of this extra gzeret hakatuv that we have the whole thing being paid. But if there wasn't for the extra pasuk, then really these two halves do exist. Right? So how would you explain, so this opinion, right, which camp would this kind of fall into? Between with regard to satam and komomenet. Right? Without the pasuk, you would say they'd only be chayiv half kofer, in truth, because they say it's a tam b'kol omedet. Right? If you didn't have a tam b'kol omedet, you'd be chayiv full. So what camp does that kind of fit into? Within our understanding of a tam b'kol omedet. If it was just the chomeras, then this thing's like kula, doesn't it? You'd be chayiv, like, if you didn't believe it's a tam b'kol omedet, you'd definitely be chayiv full, and you wouldn't need the gzeret hakatuv. Now that we have Satam and Komo Medet, you'd only be chayiv half if it weren't for the Gzeret HaKatuv. Right? So it seems like you went down from full to a half. Right? So it seems like it's a kula. Right? Which side does this fit better under? Like which position? The coolest, the formal sign, right? And then this opinion fits very well under the formal sign. It's really all these two halves. If you didn't have the other concept, you'd have a problem. Okay? Right, so that this kind of fits well under this idea. There's another answer, though. And this answer kind of, like, it's up to interpretation of it. And this is kind of what I'm trying to point out. Okay, the total set of files. Meshema mitzayin mu'adit mechayv rakatuv kofar shalem aval tam lukti behedya lo masle melef el nizikin v'nizikin gufayu v'gufo. So the second answer is that mu'ad may be different. Maybe the chiyuv of kofar is only from the side mu'ad, but tam doesn't have it because tam only learns out from nizikin, and nizikin specifically things are only things relating to gufo. Alright, so the argument is that maybe only side mu'at side has a din kofar, but the tam doesn't have din tofer. Why not? Because tam only has the things which relate to gufo, things relate to the body itself, and this payment is external to the body itself. It's kind of like it's a payment that the owner pays from his own property. Okay? So how do you understand this answer? Right, there are kind of two different ways to understand it. Right, so one way to understand it, and it's kind of like pinpointed specifically in the way the Rashi refers to it, is that like read the way Rashi says it. Ish lamar de'af Rabbi Yehuda mishkachat kofar shalem she'al sad hamuadut chayvu akatuv et hakofar, because the chiyuv kofar is specifically only on the sad muad. Right, only the muad has to pay kofar. Right, that's how. So the tam side doesn't have to pay kofar. Right, so for the Rashba's answer, right, it kind of obliterates the whole problem. Right, the question was, don't you have this problem only paying half kofar for mu'ad and half should be for tam, and therefore you don't have to pay for tam? So Rashba's like, no, really you pay zero for tzad and tams, but you pay the full on mu'ad. It's only on the mu'ad side you pay the half, you pay the full, you pay kofar, and you pay on the mu'ad side the whole thing. Right, kofar full. Right, so this kind of this answer kind of like absolves the need. Kind of doesn't really get tam and kofar so much. It kind of like goes above it, right? Kofar according to this answer isn't really an issue as to whether or not it should like carry over with regard to gufo, or whether it shouldn't carry over, whether the din of tam or muad should carry over. It doesn't relate to it. All of kofar, if anything, it might more imply the formal side, right? That he agrees in Ahami is right that it should. If it was a regular din, maybe you'd be right that you'd only have to pay half. But because only kofar only applies to mu'ad, that's why you pay the full amount. Everyone get that? Okay. That's one option. The second answer, though, the second way to interpret Tosfot's explanation is kind of more pointed at in the way that Rabbeinu Peretz words it. It has to say as follows: maybe the difference that Tosfot pointed out is not so much about about mu'ad having all of the kofar. Kofar is all under mu'ad. Maybe the point really is about where the din of kofar comes from, what it stems from. That kofar, right, stems not from, that the difference is that kofar stems not from the din, regular din of nizikin, which are migufo, rather it's something else. That really, only top things that you have are things that are learned out migufo, right? Nilmag migufo, right? But kofar is it's not learned out from gufo, and that's why it's only on the mu'ad side, right? Not because inherently the full kofar is mu'ad, maybe because zad tamut doesn't apply to it. And then this answer kind of might believe that there aren't actually two different sides to the animal. We only have a bipolar animal. It's not really that there's a side mu'ad and a side tam. It just happens to be the way Rashi words it, that the full kofar falls out on a side mu'ad. Maybe really the animal has, right, really is a mu'ad animal, right? But it has some dinim of tam. Right? Some tam didn't carry over.
But which thought time, which deen of time carry over? The ones related to Gufo. Right? Kind of what we talked about earlier. Maybe that's only at the Gufo, maybe that's also at Patroclus. Right? Which does not carry over? Anything which is not learned out of Gufo. And maybe that's the point. That Kofar is Dafka, not learned out of Gufo. Right? So everything else, right, it has a regular deen of Muad. Right? So I think, so if that's what Tosfot is saying then it's kind of clear which position, which side on the, of which camp kind of, well, in regards to Sa'at Tamo, does Tosfot fall into? He falls into right, this side, right, that we care about is Gufo. Right? Everyone kind of see that within, like, the, like, how this kind of works out well with within Kofar? I think it's kind of, I think it's pretty cool, actually, how it sounds. Any questions? Okay, so that's with regard to Kofar. Alright, so let's go on to the kind of probably the last topic we'll cover for today. Which is follows. Okay, so Kofar might have been with one example potentially where we kind of have a disconnect, as in why should something carry over? Right? Why should something or does something carry over on both sides? Right? According to the formal side, you have a problem if everything should carry over, all of the time carry over, Kofar may be one example of something which you're having problem understanding why shouldn't it carry over as well. Right? That's one example. And the answer that kind of the Rashba kind of gives is that we kind of avoid the whole question by saying that Kofar really only applies on the Muad side. Right? But telling you to the real problem, right, for the Satam with the formal side, is how do you explain the case of Knas? How do you explain this din of Moded B'Knas? Right? Because officially, if you believe that Satamu B'Komo Menet, so then you should be able to be Moded B'Knas, you should be able to Moded on the half of just Tam, and be Pater, and only be Chayav for the Muad side. Right? So how do you explain that? Right? How do you explain why that shouldn't carry over? Because Tosfot, right, for instance, this is the very same Tosfot, the one that talks about like all the demon, that explicitly Umihu, this is, says, Umihu li pater bin odato, the man nara pala genus kaknasa, so to be mode knas, lo amrina bikom medet. For that din, we don't say bikom medet, the cave on the yayd la knasu. Because once you've had yayd, once you've had the warnings, once it's become a shor muad, it's no longer a knas. The money you're paying is not defined as a knas, it's defined as regular mamon, and you're not chayav. And you can't be moded to absolve yourself of that payment. You're going to have to pay restitution despite any objections, whatever, any goodwill you do by admission of guilt. Right? So why doesn't that carry over? Right? The question is, why according to the formal side, why doesn't it carry over? Any suggestions? They run into quite the problem. So the truth is that the way I explained it until now about Knas, it's really going to have a really hard time explaining why it doesn't carry over. And the way that Tosfot sounds like, came in the Yayin left Knas table, if you think that the reason that you're not motive at Knas, that you can't be motive at it, is because it's not really Knas. Right? So if you think it's... if you think it's not a knas anymore, right, they're going to have a hard time explaining this tip, because it should be a knas. It really should go through the line. All right, so it kind of fits a lot better within like this tip, right? There's really only some datum carried over, some datum don't. So the way the monetary payment works, it doesn't really carry over, right? And Tosfot, his language is pretty clear, this is what he's saying. And it's not a knas, it's really mumbo. All right, so how do you explain this stuff? So Ravon looks and he has this really interesting suggestion. That when we talk about knas and not being a knas, perhaps the answer is that it's not that it's not a knas anymore, it's a chiyuv mamon, regular chiyuv mamon that you can't be moded for. Maybe though, it still is a knas, but it doesn't have the parameters of knas anymore. It doesn't have the requirements of knas. Like, and I give an example, for instance.
if right the city imposes a speed limit, right, or a penalty. If I go through a red light, right, I owe $100. Right, so I didn't cause any damage. I didn't hurt anyone, but the city, you know, charged me $100 for a speeding ticket or for running a red light. Now, if I run a red light three times, right, I run it multiple times over and over again, the city might give me a higher penalty, right? At that point, right, the penalty I might be getting might still, it's still defined as a penalty. I still didn't hurt anyone. But maybe at that point, I can't get out of it in the same way, right? Maybe before, if I went over to the judge and I said, like, hey, look, you're right, like, I went through a red light, it was my first time, the judge maybe might absolve me. But maybe by my third time, the judge would be like, yeah, it's like, that's too bad. Like, I don't care. It doesn't help me that you came in, like, by your own free will. Maybe by now, it's too late. We're going to still have some type of chiyuv for you. You're still going to have to pay because you have this repeating pattern. Right? So it's still a penalty. It still is a knas. But you don't have the exemptions that come with it. You don't have the kind of the exclusions you have. So we might have examples of that type of idea. That the Rav Lipson quotes, like, there's, like, a Rashi in Ketubot. There's this general din that... if you're motive b'knas, right, before witnesses come, so you're good, right? You can motive b'knas before witnesses come, you're fine. If you try admitting to your guilt after the witnesses come, so at that point it's too late, right, for most people. It doesn't make any sense, right? So the way to generally explain that is that because once witnesses have come, it's no longer a knas. Right? At that point, it's a real full monetary payment. You're high up the pay because witnesses have proved you did something wrong. Under a penalty. But there's another thing. Rashi in Ketubot had this other case, other like distinction. What if you, between whether or not you admit it before you go to Beit Din or after you go to Beit Din? If you admit it before you go to Beit Din, Rashi suggests you can poter yourself. If I go before Beit Din crazy to court, then I can, you know, absolve myself of the knas. But if I go after I go to Beit Din, right, Beit Din's already brought me to Beit Din, and they've kind of somehow find me a way to charge me. But now afterwards, I admit to them I did something wrong. Now I can no longer absolve myself of this penalty, right? So nothing's changed in the form of the penalty. It still might be a penalty, right? The fact that I went to Beit Din doesn't change the fact that it became a monetary payment instead of a penalty. It's not like witnesses have come and changed the nature of the payment. But once I've come to Beit Din, Beit Din is like formalized and said, like, you're high, you owe this amount of money to the city, it's kind of too late to absolve yourself. Right? So it still is a knas, you just don't have the pesturim of knas anymore. Right? So to summarize that, you might be able to suggest that maybe it is a knas, right? Maybe in our case, it still is a knas on the tam side, right? The tam side is still a knas, but you no longer have the ability to absolve yourself. Right? You no longer have the factors that allow you to, like, get out of knosis. And maybe that's why, right, that might be able to explain this Tamri perspective here. As in, right, there still are two halves. There is a Shtatam and a Shtatamud, and they're very different. And the payment is still half of a knas and half of real mamon for the Mu'ad side. The reason you can't be motive to knas is not because of it's no longer a knas, but because at this point it's too late to be motive. Maybe because you've been repeatedly offended, right? Or maybe because, like, since the other half is a motive now, you can't be motive on the knas aspect, right? You give various reasons for why you can no longer be motive, why is it too late. But the point is, it still remains a knas. And the interesting way maybe to point this out might be actually from our case of apotropos, right? Because one of the examples, explanations, right? This is what we pointed out earlier. One of the examples that the Rishonim give for this concept of apotropos, right, is specifically this idea of knas for ketanim. Right? Why isn't apotropos, why is the legal guardian responsible for the damages caused by shortam? Right? So one of the explanations Rishonim give, according to the Raivan and the Miri, is because Ketanim are not chayiv in Knas. And Shortam is a Knas. Right? So, right, everyone remember that suggestion? The problem is, right, this is what like Rashi points out, right? So Rashi on Daf Lamed Tet says, on this Mishnah, he actually says, V'ika d'amar time mishum ne'palavins k'knasa v'yamilav ne'knasa ninu. So some people suggest because palavins had a knas, and Yitomim are not capable of, or not chayv in knasing. So Rashi asks, it doesn't make sense. One's proving the word of the Mishnah, but also the own, the command mishmaiti amrinan v'mua l'man d'amar tzad tam v'pobo menet. So one of the things we say, by tzad tam v'pobo menet, ein anigu min Yitomim mehay taima, the time mishum knasa hu b'muad mi'ave knasa halav b'chesgat shimur kaimi. Right, so Tosfot proves from our Gemara, right? We talked about there are two cases of apotropos. So Rashi sorry, proves from the Abaye case, right, of apotropos, the case where there was no shmira, right, and therefore by muad you chayav full, right, where you pay shalem, but because you hold that tamut, you're only chayav half. Right? So if this was true, why should there be a knas aspect in Mishor Muat? Right? If this explanation that if someone al chayim knas is the reason that you're patur for a short time like al migufo, right, why then are the Yitomim patur in the Muat case? Right, in the Tzatamu B'chomo Meta case. Why are they patur then from and only have to pay half and not pay the full? Right? So Rashi very clearly believes, like Tosfot does, that this is not a knas at this point. That the reason that the Ketanim are patur, the Ketanim are chayev, it has nothing to do with knas, but also some other reason. Because otherwise, if it really was a knas, if it remained the knas, even when the shor was a muad, then the Ketanim should be patur as well. They shouldn't have to pay... If it really was about a knas, then the ketanim shouldn't have this patur here by muad. Right, that's Tashi's intuition. Right, the other side, my kind of point is the other side. The people who believe this opinion, like, what is their response to this gemara? How do they respond to Rashi's claim? Right, so one option we suggested earlier was that we don't pass on a bias. So maybe this case is irrelevant. But, or, secondly, maybe you do pass like a baye, but, kind of what Fuchtenstein had said, was that it might still be a knas. Maybe it is a knas. Right? And that's why the ketanim aren't chayav for the tam side. They're only chayav for the muad side. Right? Because of this reason. The only thing is, by hodah b'knas, the reason you can't be mode is because if technically you don't have the ability to be mode b'knas. Right, there are some technical parameters for preventing you from voting the knas. But it still is defined as a knas. Right, so just to recap a little bit of point here, right? So we kind of see within this position, you kind of see these two approaches. Right? Rashi and Tosfot kind of reject this opinion because it doesn't work within this Gemara. Right? They have to assume that it can't be that it's still a knas. It's no longer a knas. And that's why this position doesn't make any sense. Right? That makes sense? But the other opinion, Rivet and Miri, who do present this opinion, to explain this Gemara, they could believe, no, it still remains a knas, based on what Rav Lichtenstein have said, suggestion, but despite the fact that it remains a knas, you can't be moded a knas for like external reasons. Does that make sense? And that would be a good way of defending this idea that there still is a formal date of Satamot and Satamot. Alright, so to recap this like whole we kind of have this like major question, right? Is Satam Komo Medit? Do we believe it's like that there's like a formal split, right? There's a bipolar nature of shore that there's like the half Tam, half Muad? Or are you bothered by that partially because you have some which carry over, maybe like Kofar or maybe like Knas we just saw? And because it doesn't really make sense as a model, where do we ever see a model of like a shore having both halves? And instead, we have to suggest these other explanations. Maybe it's only the kulas, maybe it's really not, maybe only the chumras, and this isn't really a kula, or maybe because it's dafka migufo, and only gufo is kind of extended. And we kind of saw that same kind of split kind of reappears throughout several examples. So it reappears with regard to, we saw with regard to, Kofar, or maybe that's one definition of King Kofar. We saw with regard to apotropos, there might be different ways of explaining apotropos based on the same dynamic. And we saw just now with regard to knas that the same idea might reapply if it repeated multiple times, multiple variations. All right, so any questions on the chabur overall? I guess the major takeaway, besides like the general approach, is just like a way of like thinking about like the different topics. Like, it's definitely a hard topic to like think about. I wouldn't like use it like a model. But I think that general idea of like thinking of different sides is kind of like one of the major takeaways in terms of like methodology of like which side like makes sense for each position and kind of like going through the logical extensions in that. Okay, so that's the end for some talent meta. We're gonna, I guess, probably just leave the Rambam. Kind of like a side point, so we'll probably leave that. And I think next week we'll just start up with like Kofar, which is our next topic, which should be interesting. So looking forward to that.